on Real Ghost Stories Online. What do you do when you're in a haunted hotel and no one is around to help? A day of playing in a friend's basement turns to horror as undead friends come to life. A bittersweet goodbye occurs as a recently deceased grandmother returns. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, that it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program. Become an extra podcast person. Do it through Patreon or through ghostpodcast.com. The links are there at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month makes you an extra podcast person. Get access to our exclusive bonus episodes every single week. All 200-some you get access to. It's packed with our best ghost stories, exclusive ghost videos, advanced episodes of the show, and a free copy of our book, $14 value, an Amazon bestseller. Just sign up at ghostpodcast.com, and you will get all of that stuff. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
Thanks. You did a different high on today's.
I'm trying to not do the weird high like last time. I didn't mean to do a weird high last time.
Do a different high every single time. You're like, what is up with this?
Okay.
And thank you for getting the dog a bone.
He'll be quiet now.
But now I'm going to be sometimes between stories when you're talking, I'll be sitting here. I'll be chewing on this. Mm-hmm. Is this a hedgehog or what?
I think it's a hedgehog.
Smells like his fresh breath.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna hold this over here while he enjoys the mammoth rib that you got. I don't know what the heck that thing is, but it's large. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Be great. It'd be a great joke on you if I was like I took him out into the yard or took him out into the woods and he came back with like what looked like a femur or something, but like a human one. If I went and like got one at a haunt store or something. Like, look at this bone he found. And it's like clearly a human bone, but I play stupid and don't realize it. And you're, oh my God.
That would not be fun.
It was underneath a tree with a rock piled by
that
it.
That would not be fun. No.
There's some weird etching on the tree, like look like really old. I don't know what it was all about.
Seriously.
He really likes this bone. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hey, Tony and Jenny, it's Chris, the broke recent law graduate from Massachusetts, who was recently featured on an EPP episode where I talked about the house that myself, my father, and uncle all experienced distinct paranormal activity. I don't think I mentioned I was a male before, though. So I think you guys might have thought I was female. No worries, though. You might remember my story as the old lady with the crossed arms ghost story. Well, last time I promised more, and I hope to deliver. I warn you, though, this is a long one, so feel free to share only part or none. One thing I love about this amazing podcast is that it draws from all different kinds of paranormal experiences and perspectives. Expanding on that, some people have experienced very friendly hauntings and others very malevolent terrors. There seems to be a spectrum with plenty in between. I have two stories in mind that push that spectrum to its limits. I'll only be sharing one of those stories here, though, because both of them are quite long. Stay tuned for my terrifying story about my experiences of acting like a disrespectful asshole as a teenager at an abandoned state school and conjuring up some evil shit right after the new episode of Dookie Hauser. My girlfriend of 3 years and I love the paranormal. She gets a little creeped out like Jenny, though. And by creeped out, I probably mean smart in a very precautious way. That compared to me, who, well, maybe I'm Tony to my girlfriend's Jenny. I digress. For the last couple of years, we've made it a point to visit at least one or two reportedly haunted hotels and inns around the Northeast each year. It's one of Jenny's favorite pastimes. too, by the way. I know you're always asking to go do that.
No.
One such occasion happened last summer. We visited a bed and breakfast on Cape Cod that, to our knowledge at the time, had its usual share of reported hauntings. It was built in the mid-19th century and is rumored to hold several spirits, including one of a young lady. We'll talk about her later. We've since found out that it was featured in one of those ghost TV shows. Still, I believe it's under new ownership since the TV episode, so I don't want to say its name in case the owners aren't too keen on its reputation. Anyways, we get into this bed and breakfast, and it's gorgeous. Get there a little late, though, past normal operating hours. Our first fright came when we knocked on the door of the bed and breakfast, and nobody came to the door. The door was cracked ajar, so we walked in and yelled for someone to help us. Despite the lights being on and the cars in the driveway, no one came to help us. Finally, as we turned around and proceeded to exit the building, the owner popped his head in the corner and said, "Boo!" That rather scared the shit out of us. After jumping, we began to laugh. Having gotten there a little later than check-in, he and his family were having a fire out back. Being a small family operation, he and his wife knew my girlfriend and I were in our 20s, based on my girlfriend talking to the wife, so I guess they decided they'd have a little fun in welcoming us to the place. The owner got us our key and showed us out to our room. The Rose Room. It was a beautiful room that, at one time in the 19th century, belonged to a young woman in her early 20s, late 30s, that was rumored to have died in the house. The owner said that many guests had reported hearing footsteps outside of the room, the door handles jiggling and sounds coming from the bathroom. We were pooped from the long drive, so after saying goodnight to the owner, my girlfriend and I got ready for bed. Let me tell you, getting ready for bed in that bathroom felt heavy. I mean heavy. It's like being in a humid room and expecting your worst enemy to pop through the door at any moment. And if there's one thing I'm a total chicken about, it's mirrored. I put a towel over the mirror when I was brushing my teeth, so before bed, my girlfriend and I got into a silly little argument. She was a little freaked out and wanted to leave the bathroom light on. I told her that it would keep me up. Anyways, I said, "I'm not going to let anything happen to you." She responded by reminding me that I would be of no use to her. I did, after all, put a towel over the mirror. I won this argument, though. We left the lights off. As we were lying in bed watching the TV, we both began to notice the front door handle was jiggling. This isn't, "Oh, I think I heard a small sound. Wouldn't it be cool if it was a ghost trying to communicate?" No, this was an obnoxious sound reminiscent of a prank a small child might play on an older sibling. You might have even called it aggressive. At first, I said, "Hello?" And it stopped. Then 10 minutes later, it started again. Went over to the door, thinking it might be another boarder, or perhaps the owner trying to prank us again. But no one was there. It's very weird. For some reason, we weren't freaked out. It didn't feel threatening. Anyways, this dance continued for at least a half hour. At some point, we both fell asleep. This was the end of my experiences. In the morning, though, I asked my girlfriend how she slept, and she said that she slept fine, that she was thankful that I turned the little battery-powered candle on. I said, "What? I didn't turn it on." She laughed and told me that of course I had. She showed me the battery-powered candle that sat next to her bed and assured me that it was on when she got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. After that, I checked the batteries to all three of the candles in the room, and I shit you not, they did not have batteries in them. She wouldn't lie, though. To make it even more interesting, she asked the owner the next day, and he chuckled and said that that wasn't the first time that they had heard that. So what do you guys think? Both my girlfriend and I have had scary, even traumatic experiences with the paranormal. This one wasn't that, though. We never felt threatened. My girlfriend and I have discussed the likelihood that it was a woman who was rumored to haunt the room, merely helping my girlfriend to feel more comfortable. After all, we did have that disagreement about keeping the lights on. At any rate, I can't imagine it not being something paranormal. It just seems like there was too much palpable activity. Sorry to make this long. I understand it doesn't make it. By the way, Real Ghost Stories Online Community, EPP is worth it. I shared this on the Facebook page, but the littlest changes might be able to make it happen for you. In my gas station runs at work, I've switched from Fiji to Poland Springs. Okay, I don't know what. Okay, I guess he got to a new. Okay. Keep doing what you're doing, team. You got a member for life, Chris. Okay. Thanks for your water preferences. It's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had the Fiji.
Well, I think the point was switching from the more expensive water to the cheaper one allowed for the EPP.
Oh. Yeah. So you pick out the obvious.
Yeah, I just I didn't catch what you said. I didn't think you said Fiji. I thought you said BG to something else. And I was like, what?
Wouldn't that be a great water?
The BG water?
BG water? Oh, that would be awesome. You go and like, I'm going to get the BG water. And then you just like, you're just sitting there like, oh, it's so refreshing. It's so good water.
I
love the water. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I think that it could have just been the lady that haunts the room just trying to make the girlfriend feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's like they don't want to be scary, so they're trying to make things not scary.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, I think it was probably a helpful one. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the story didn't go to the extent of, oh, it's a room that a woman in her late 20s, early 30s was brutally murdered in. You sure. know, it was just like, okay.
That or she hung herself in her wedding dress or something like that. There's always a wedding dress woman story with hotels.
Was there like a big thing back in the day of people hanging themselves in their wedding dresses?
I don't know.
I mean, today, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, suicides for the most part don't go in newspapers unless mm-hmm. it's like a celebrity.
Right.
A lot of that does not get published that way. So do we just not hear all the details anymore? Or are there a lot of people that are still hanging themselves in wedding dresses? Or is that more of an old-fashioned way to go out?
No, I just think there was, and it could be an urban legend, but you've heard the story about the woman whose lover she thought had died. And,
no.
You know, so she kills herself in her wedding dress, and then come to find out, no, he didn't die, or something like that, you know? that I've heard that a number of different ways.
Yeah. Although I have to throw this in there, too, to that mix of dead people in wedding dresses. Mm-hmm. I think it was a thing, too, from back in the day of a different generation that would prefer getting buried in their wedding dresses. I don't think a lot of people do that these days.
Well, a lot of people, was their nicest thing to be buried in.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that they're not doing full veil and everything. They're just, that was the nicest thing they had.
Wouldn't that be a thing?
What, just full-on
full veil
bride?
That would be really interesting where you do it almost like the wedding ceremony where you're in the casket and you're in the dress, but you have the veil on, and then they push the casket into the church and the veil is still going down the aisle.
That's just like, weird.
And then you have like the flower girl right behind it throwing the flowers. Mm-hmm. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
My grandma got buried in her wedding dress.
A lot of people do that.
She did. And it was like, wow, still fits. Good for you, Grandma.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. What do you want to get buried in?
Just something I normally wear. Yeah.
Just whatever.
Jeans and my Converse shoes. I mean, seriously.
Topless, but jeans and your Converse
shoes. I don't know what shirt. Probably a t-shirt. You know, I don't want to be, I'm not a formal person. I don't want to spend eternity in something that's uncomfortable that I wouldn't wear.
In the event that you have to wear the clothes that you're...
I want to be haunting in my street clothes, you know? I don't want to wear, like, work attire.
Ugh. Sure. Well, that makes sense.
Or a prom dress or something stupid.
It's like, God, what happened to this girl in her prom dress, you know? She's in her 30s. This is really kind of weird, you know?
No.
There you go. I have no idea. I don't want to be cremated. I know that much. But I want to be buried because I want to do the whole zombie thing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of on my to-do list. So there you go. My parents the other year were like, oh, yeah, we bought our plot, but we're getting cremated. So what?
Yeah.
I think it was like to save money. I think it was like a cost-cutting measure. Mm-hmm. It's like, because forever, I was so confused by this. Because growing up, not that me and my dad talked about this stuff very much, but me and my mom would walk through the mm-hmm. cemetery all the time. So this sort of shit came up. And it would be like I don't want to get cremated. It's just a thing. I have nothing against anyone who does. It's just, I always was like, I like the idea of being buried better. And my mom forever did too. She was always like, yeah, you know, I'd rather be buried too. I don't want to be ashes or whatever. Okay, cool. Whatever. It's your own prerogative. It's your body. Do what you want. I don't know what the hell changed.
But they bought the plot to bury their ashes together in.
Yeah, it's like a two-for-one deal.
Yeah.
And I think they got like a free like dinner at the Sizzler as well.
Oh, God. No, they didn't. So Harp and I the other day were watching a movie, and there it was a comedy, and there was a scene where they were spreading some ashes, and she's like, what is that? What are they mm-hmm. doing? So I explained to her that some people aren't buried. They're yeah. what, cremated? Sure. And she's like, huh. Can you be spread anywhere you want? Like, depends. She's like, I think I'd want to be spread back in the backyard. I was like, probably not going to happen, kid. And
shoot her little cremation dream right down.
I said, you don't want to be buried? Like, yeah, I'll be buried. I mean, she was just really very, just not traumatized to talk about death and what's going to happen to her at all. But she wanted to be sprinkled back there in the cliff, the coyotes and the foxes.
She's already planning on haunting the shit out of our extended family once she's dead.
Yeah.
She tells me that now. I mean, she's like, you know, Daddy, you know, someday, you know, you'll die. And she's like totally cool with this. Like, she's not planning on it like soon, but mm-hmm. she's like, you know, when you're old, you know, you die and, you know, 20, 30 years later, I'll die too. And I mean, go haunt the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
like your kids. She's like, yeah, it'd be great.
You know, she wants to haunt Livy's kids.
She will.
Yeah.
She will haunt the shit out of that house.
Yeah.
Who is that? It's crazy Aunt Harper.
Yeah.
Be great fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. All right, let's go to our next story. It says, hey guys, my name's Jana, pronounced Gina. There you go. Sorry, Gina. A lot of people butcher my name, like me. I just started listening to the show a few days ago, and I'm hooked. I'm also thinking about becoming an EPP. Anyways, I've had many experiences growing up. I live about 15 minutes across the river from St. Louis, Missouri, in Illinois. I've learned that I'm also an empath sensitive and have been trying to learn more about my gift on with my story. When I was around 11, I'd stayed the night with my best friend at the time. I won't state her name. It was still morning, and I'd say around 9 or 10 a.m. Her dad was leaving and told us to stay inside until her mom woke up. Her mom worked nights as a nurse, so she would sleep for a few hours when she got home. My friend and I decided to play hide and go seek. I was it, and my friend went to hide. After counting in her bedroom, I walked out and went right into the kitchen. When I got to the sink area, I turned my head to the right to go over to the bathroom, and as I did, I noticed a basement door was cracked open. The basement door was right across from the bathroom. I could plain as day see someone looking at me, and I yelled, "You're it!" After that, the door shut hard, and I heard someone going down the stairs. So, thinking it was my friend, I ran over, opened the door, and when I did, I watched as a shadow darted off to the right. I instantly got spooked because my friend hated going down to her basement alone. Not to mention, it was unfinished and dark down there all the time besides. A little light was coming in, but from two small windows to the left of the basement. I started to step down the stairs and said my friend's name. I got scared and ran back up. As I came out of the basement door and into the kitchen, I looked over into the living room. I then noticed the couch was pulled out a bit on the left side. I walked in, looked behind the couch, and there was my friend crouched down behind the couch. My eyes got wide and I said, "I think there's someone in your basement." She ran in and woke her mom and told her what happened. Her mom went down but found nothing. Now when you go down the basement stairs, if you go to the right, it's a dead end and is where the laundry room is. Go to the left, it's the door to go outside, and there's a bathroom over there. Her mom said the window and door were both still secured shut and bolted. My friend and I decided we didn't want to ever go down into her basement. Thanks for listening to my story. I'll call in with some of the others as well. Have a wonderful day.
I think the shadow person just wanted to play hide and seek too.
I would.
Yeah.
It'd be all about games. I think that happens. You know, sometimes you're a kid and you're playing, and a lot of times kids are the ones that are seeing these things and experiencing them. Sometimes it's a ghost kid. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just I'm dead and I'm bored. I want to do something. Mm-hmm. So I'll play hide and seek.
Yeah.
There you go. How's he doing on the bone over there? It sounds like
he's doing pretty well.
My goodness. It's like the Sizzler that my parents got for that. Have you ever been to a Sizzler?
No. Is it like a Golden Corral?
Are they still around? It's just kind of like a go-to like restaurant name that I throw out there.
Uh-huh.
I know they were like, let's just see if it's around. I don't know if they're... Oh, there are some in... Looks like our closest one is in Fayetteville.
Oh.
So we could go try Sizzler hand-cut steaks. I think it's kind of like it's like a salad bar. It's like a Ponderosa, I think. I don't know. I could be wrong. It's not an ad for Sizzler. It's always just kind of one of those throw out there restaurants. Especially you get that when you get the 2-for-1 grave plot. So do you want to be? Did we say you're wanting to be ash? You told me what you wanted to be buried in.
But
where do you want to be buried is the next question.
Wherever you are, wherever that is.
What if I picked a really crazy place?
That would suck. That would really be bad.
Like, what if it was like on the grounds of a haunted? Would you even care at that point if you're
dead?
No,
I wouldn't care as long as the other ghosts aren't assholes.
So I can be like, let's go to Waverly Hills and get...
No, I don't want to go to Waverly. No.
I don't know. I for the longest time, I had... I think it's still in my will. I should probably amend that. Or here, I'm amending it on the air. So if anybody ever needs to look at this... Here,
right, because we'll remember what episode this is.
Someone will tell you. Okay. There's people that Wikipedia the show. So... And bless them for that, because it's a hell of a lot better than my memory. My thought was to get buried up in the cemetery. I used to mm-hmm. love to play around as a kid, but I'm hardly ever up there anymore. It's really not, this is like home. Kids are here.
Is home.
This is home to me now. So I'm thinking more so here.
You have a place thought?
There's a neat little one over by Silver Dollar City.
Yeah, that one's cool.
Right underneath the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Mm-hmm. No. No, but
get a lot of puke on you.
That's where all the people that's a very old cemetery, and there is some space in there. They still bury people over there, but it's very small, and that's where like all the people that lived in Garber are buried. You know, and people that were in the Shepherd of the Hills book, that's where they're actually buried.
Which is a town right across the ridge here that mm-hmm. you can't get to because it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. So I could see us ending up over there.
That'd be kind of a neat spot. Although to me, it's tiny and that's fine. It just doesn't have that spooky factor. I wish it was a little bit deeper into the woods. It just kind of ends. It's right there. I'd be kind of concerned that if someday they ever had to expand the highway, they're going to be like, well, it looks like these graves need to move a little bit. We're going to put these by the pirate ship. You're going to end up, in the, into part of a new attraction or something at Silver Dollar City.
Wow, there's a really spooky little one in the middle of downtown.
Really? In town?
Mm-hmm. You have to kind of be looking to see it. It's old.
Do they still add to it?
I don't know.
Still like, hey, move-in special.
I don't know.
I love the, and that's why, I still haven't, that one I always used to play in Ryanzi was always just the creepiest. But I don't know. Those are like it's hard to find them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could we start our own cemetery? That would be awesome. What if we started the Real Ghost Stories online cemetery where it's literally, we'll get a plot of land for it. And nobody's in the cemetery business anymore. Nobody's like, hey, there's a new cemetery popping up down that way. You see McDonald's and shit. You'd think with the sheer amount of fast food, there'd be like a new demand for fresh cemeteries.
How do you get something zoned for cemetery?
I don't know.
Okay.
But this is the genius idea of the day.
The RGSO cemetery?
Yeah. And what you have is I'm already picturing the big iron archway gate, and then
you're gonna make it so gothic and creepy.
Up at the very top of it is the logo, the Real Ghost Stories Online logo in iron, and then it's the very kind of gothic creepy, and then it's one of those things where all of our listeners, you can buy a plot in it. Maybe maybe once a year until we're dead, we give away a plot. Your chance to win a grave spot in our cemetery, and then we're there. We just got to find, there's some cheap land around
you
here.
You are a serial entrepreneur. That is one I never thought you would go
get into
for.
The cemetery business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what that convention's like.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I wonder,
I don't know. I want to find a cemetery just like the one in Hocus Pocus, and that's where I want to be buried. That's about as creepy as I can think of.
Well, that's like Holland. There's like, that's super... there's arms coming out of the ground. That's like the one in front of the Haunted Mansion almost.
Yeah, I'd be happy with something like that.
Maybe that could be how you get the cemetery plot. You buy a plot of land with an old abandoned house on it that looks like it's haunted, and you just do all the graves around it.
You just throw Tasteful out the window and you go straight on for this is your haunted, scary-ass cemetery?
Yeah. Okay. The point of it is to be scary. It's not supposed to be peaceful. It's not supposed to be like, oh, I just want to go here and, you know, reminisce. It's like, I want to go here and get the shit freaked out of me because I'm just like, oh my God, this is a haunted cemetery. People come here with the intent of haunting it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll have no problem finding a place to put that.
I know, people, you probably have to go like in front of zoning commissions and stuff.
Yeah, and explain that it's not going to be just a tasteful, you know, flags up a Memorial Day kind of cemetery, that this is all out. People have, you know, concrete arms that look like bones coming out of their grave.
I would like request like the flowers from the other cemeteries after they're getting rid of them and be like, can I just have those when you're done? We're going to use them next whatever holiday it is that we put them up, and they're going to be the rotting versions. And it's a disrespect thing to the people. It's like, this is what you signed up for.
It's what they want.
It's what you wanted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be, like I just discovered a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
Start Googling that shit. 855-853-4802 is our phone number.
Split the bone in half.
Wow. Jaws of might down there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Speaking of the cemetery stuff, it's not cemetery, but it's funeral home related, and it's funny, and we'll talk about it after this story. Says, hi, I'm writing in from San Diego. Just wanted to share a story with you about a dream I had a few years ago. Growing up, I lived with my grandparents and was very close to my grandmother in particular. She was like a mother to my best friend and me. She had health complications from smoking many years and passed away back in 2013 from pneumonia. There was so much I did not get a chance to say to her before her passing because she was there. One day, smiling and blowing me a kiss goodbye, and the next, she was suddenly in a coma and gone. Her loss was a huge blow. Not only was one of the most influential people in my life now gone, but we ended up having to sell my childhood home due to the stipulations of her trust. It was a tough year for me. Shortly after her passing and the sale of her house, I had this dream. I walked into the front of the area of her house and I saw her sitting on the bench in the dining room. She did not look any younger, but she looked as if she was full of health. She was still wearing her nightgown that she had on when she had passed away. No words were exchanged between us. All she did was stand up, open her arms to me, and smile. I rushed to her and hugged her, and we both stood there and cried in each other's arms. It was so real. I could feel her. It was a short, bittersweet dream, and I woke up with tears in my eyes, but I felt as if I got to have my real goodbye. I've had other dreams that included her and my grandfather, who had passed away a few years before her, but there is a distinct difference between those and the ones I've shared today. Their images are fleeting and blurry. This dream was vivid. I could smell the candles she used to burn and feel her tears on my shoulder. I've not shared this with anyone, not even my mother, but it feels good to get these words out. Sometimes when I'm having a hard time, I ask my grandmother to revisit me, but I have yet to experience another dream like that one, if I ever will. I have to take comfort in the fact that she is in a better place and no longer suffering. Thanks for letting me share this story, and for everything you do, I'm happy to say I just became an EPP. Hope to hear this on one of your future podcasts. Big thank you.
So we should call it something when they come back. It's like a closure dream. Sure. You know, maybe we should call it that, like a closure dream.
Where yeah.
They come back in your dreams to just kind of almost say their goodbye, especially since it sounded like she went into a coma before she passed, and that kind of kills the ability to say goodbye.
Yeah, you don't really get a proper goodbye there. Mm-hmm. And then you have the dream where everything is so vivid, and it's like, and you can tell. I mean, I personally have never had a dream where I can say, well, this felt super different than other dreams. But when I have one, if I have one, I think I'll be able to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Because mine have really just been kind of, you know, about the same. I can tell it when it's, I can usually tell when I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I haven't had the visitation or anything like that. But I believe when people have those experiences. Have you ever had a super vivid dream or one where you thought it was maybe more than just a dream?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it on the show a number of times. Yeah. I have.
Harper to me the other day, we were talking about dreams, and she's like, yeah, she's six, so there's a lot of new things she's discovering. One of those things in the last year or two, buffets.
She loves buffets.
She just loved this concept of this buffet. And she's like, yeah, I was in this dream and I was at a buffet. Oh, it's great. And she's telling me about everything she's going to get. She's like, can I sat down? Why can't you taste food in dreams? And she was so pissed. She's like, this is just like,
I wanted to eat the watermelon, and I couldn't taste it. It tastes like nothing. And I ate the chicken, and it tasted like nothing.
And she was just, like, livid. Just kept getting more and more angry as she told the story. Like, that's how dreams work. I know it sucks.
Yeah.
And I've had that, too. Man, I'm a food person, and it was, I can't taste in dreams. Can you taste in dreams?
I don't know that I've ever eaten anything in a dream.
You normally can't taste or smell in dreams is typically how it works. I guess that to me would be like, holy shit, maybe I'm not dreaming if I can taste something.
There you go.
But I never can taste in.
It's so funny when she gets mad. It's like a wet cat. You just can't help but laugh and feel bad at the same time.
It gets angrier and angrier. The more you try and dry it off, it's just like, yeah. That was good. So funeral homes, this is something that is true. And I never really understood what the hell I luckily have never had to do this, but I know some folks who have, where funeral homes would advertise on the radio station. And, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense when you're on a station that targets an older population, mm-hmm. where demographically your odds are there. You may be kicking it soon or know someone who is. So you want to be top of mind, I guess, you know, for when they die. But I remember there was a lot of people that would have to go do the live broadcast sometimes.
Really?
At the funeral home. And, you know, I've done hundreds of live broadcasts over my career. You know, a lot of times it's car dealerships, it's cell phone stores. Mm-hmm. Never have I had to do it at the funeral home. But I have heard some. And I suppose it stands out as just as bizarre as I've seen, like, the ads, like in the Clipper, like the, you know, the Money Saver magazines that some communities put out, where it's like, oh, come in today and sign up for your and we'll give you it's like the weirdest discounts, too, because it's usually people who are not in marketing that come up with these. And it's like 10% off or like buy one. It's just weird shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one step away from getting a Sizzler certificate. Mm-hmm. And just like, I don't think I could do that with a straight face.
No.
If I ever had to do that broadcast of come on out to Larry's mortuary and funeral and more.
Can I just say, I think that's in really poor taste that a mortuary would do that. I mean, I know they have to market, but their business is not going to stop. I mean, people are always going to need funeral homes.
I suppose if there's heavy competition, though, I mean, yeah, their business isn't going to stop. But I mean, you could say the same with like McDonald's and Hardee's. Their business isn't going to stop, but they got to market and convince people to go to their place over the other.
Sure. And there's tasteful ways to market. I just think having a, you know, come on down and sign up for whatever.
At the radio station there with balloons and the prize machine?
Yeah. Yeah. Spin the wheel and see what you get, you know? That's kind of messed up.
Free casket lining or something? Free upgrade on casket
23%
lining?
23% off embalming. Who knows? I mean, it's just.
And right now, if you do your own embalming, if you have your family members involved, you'll get you another 25% off. It was bizarre. I don't know to say if it's normal, not normal, tasteful. I don't know. It just stood out to me as bizarre just because I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard this before. Heard a radio station doing a live broadcast at the funeral home.
I think I would purposely not choose a funeral home if they were having the radio station come down and do a remote.
What if the remote was, I mean, you schedule remotes months in advance.
Yeah.
Sometimes, what if you have it scheduled? I mean, you
know, and there's a funeral.
You don't necessarily schedule the deaths months in advance.
No.
So could you imagine you're showing up there for the funeral and the remote's already scheduled, the radio station van is pulled up, you know, there's the DJ, and then there's like the three interns with the prize stickers and everything, balloons and everything, and you're showing up for the funeral.
If I were that family, I'd be livid. I would be livid.
Come on out. Like all the stupid shit we've done with remotes over the years, like sign the cheese or something and, you know, and get a chance to win Packer tickets. There it is. At Moe's Funeral Home and More. And more is the fun part.
And more. What? Yeah.
It's like Vic's Breaks and More. You never know what you're going to get. No. It's like the we've been to some restaurants where it's like, oh, and you do piercings.
Oh, my God, yes.
Right next to the counter where you get your food.
We never went back on that one.
I'm gonna skip
That's true. That's not just a Tony being crazy thing. That happened.
They did have pretty damn good General Cho's chicken, though. I will say that much. It really was my favorite, and they haven't found one quite as good since. And I'm not lying. But yeah, like, oh, where do you, the piercings are done right there. Pretty close to the walk. I'm gonna say, I don't know if this is, you know, approved by the city.
Help. I don't think it was legal.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. They did kind of take a while when you placed your order. Maybe it was encouraging. Like, you're sitting there waiting, waiting.
Oh, why not? While I'm waiting on my, you know, crab rangoons, I might as well just get my belly button pierced.
Just get an extra one. Yeah, why not? I think that might have been part of the marketing. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Story here says everything that I'm about to tell you is true and everything happened. I don't live in the house it happened in anymore, but I regret never studying the history of the property or investigating the haunting that took place, like if anyone died there. Here's a little history of the area, though. During the Revolution and pre-Revolution era, there were Native Americans and settler massacres alike. Supposedly, the property lies along the trail that General Washington and his troops traveled on. There are also stories of witches that used to exist near the area way back in the day as well. We lived in the Poconos of Pennsylvania. So much happened inside this house, but it started so small that I was the only one who noticed all these things for the longest time. Started as hearing someone walking around late at night, going up and down the stairs, hearing the kitchen sink turn on and off, and hearing cupboards open and close. My bedroom door had a full view of the stairs, and though I never saw anything, sometimes I'd see shadows moving. Lights turned on by themselves. We'd also get the oppressing feeling of being watched and followed day or night. When I was home alone, I'd hear whispering voices upstairs, like people arguing or people talking about me. I'd go upstairs to check if a TV had been left on, but none ever was. While home alone again, something called out my name 3 times. It was very long and very drawn out, like something out of a ghost movie, but I think it's interesting to add it sounded similar to my mother's voice, and I was tempted to answer until I checked that she wasn't home. A year later, I learned that something had also called out my stepdad's name as well and touched him. One night, while playing alone in my room, a jacket which hung off my chair 5 feet away from me started swiveling and swinging all on its own. My parents were very paranoid about intruders, so that they had 3 locks installed on our front door, left and came back to find the door wide open and blame me for it. Yet, we'd leave our house, cat inside, and come back hours later to find the cat outside. The activity worsened, however, after I moved in the downstairs bedroom. First night I slept in there, I left a water glass on the table, and as I lay in bed trying to fall asleep, I distinctly heard the glass being slammed onto the table repeatedly. Then the pounding started. Something started knocking on the walls and furniture of my room. I was freaked out, but tried to ignore it and just laid there still, listening, pretending to sleep. That happened at least once every week for a year until it finally faded away altogether, as if it were pulling pranks on me. Things in my room would go missing as I was using them. I grew used to this, though. I learned to walk away for 30 minutes, and I knew eventually it would return to the exact same spot. I also swear that the ghost tried to get me in trouble. My stepdad changed jobs and worked with a bomb squad dog, which were allowed to let live with us. The cat and the dog didn't get along very well, though, so while my stepdad was home with the dog, we kept the cat in my room. I'd wake up for unknown reasons near 3 in the morning, and every time I'd get the feeling that I had to turn on my light, so I did. The door to my room stood wide open, like a dark, gaping mouth. I'd feel something watching me. And suddenly I'd realized, where's the cat? This always happened only a few minutes before I knew my stepdad would wake up. He blamed me if our government dog got attacked by the cat, so I'd find the cat always minutes before his alarm went off. However, for the last year that I lived in that house, things increased to the point that it felt threatening. My mom and I often felt like we were being choked, as if hands had wrapped around our throats, stopping us dead in our tracks. For 2 nights in a row, I heard a strange shuffling sound float around my room. I couldn't see it, but the sound floated around my room, stopping and hovering at times, until it stopped in front of me, and then left through the door again. It was like the sound of rustling paper, or maybe hissing. It was often my job to watch after the fire when my parents weren't home, and one night the old railroad spike, which we kept on the mantle, flew past my head. The worst thing that ever happened, perhaps 2 months before I finally left, was while I was sleeping on the couch in my room. For some reason, I felt unsafe in bed, so I slept on the couch because there I felt less exposed. After I reached up to turn off the light, I had a sudden realization that something was face to face with me, merely inches away. It made me so sick to my stomach, and I felt that whatever it had hated me and wanted me to know it. Like a child, I flipped the covers over my face and I said a prayer. But later that night, I woke up to the sound of screaming and growling within my room. Someone was screaming that they needed my help and that they were trapped and didn't know their identity. I tried to move, but that's when I realized I couldn't. I was completely paralyzed and I couldn't move a muscle. Here's a creepy part. It was me that was screaming, but it was not my voice, and I had no control over it whatsoever. Then every sound in my room escalated into a massive, deafening roar, and I heard someone speaking above all the noise, but I couldn't recognize any language. And then suddenly it became silent. The weight lifted off of my chest, and I couldn't move again. I felt like there were things still present in the room with me, but I didn't dare turn on the light for fear that I would see it. I think it's also important to note that while living in that house, everyone's demeanor changed, including mine. We all became increasingly hostile towards each other. Like whatever the things were in that house, I believe there was more than one wanted to drive us further and further apart. Yet as soon as I moved away, it was as if the heavy darkness had been lifted from my life. A lot of unanswered questions still remain about that house.
That sounds pretty dark.
Sounds like a lovely place to live.
Yeah.
B&B.
I don't think that's just a ghost. I think there's more to that.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, it's obviously they kind of moved on and moved away, but it's very common where we hear of that sort of scenario where something is in there and is trying to kind of drive everybody nuts. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, it causes, you know, issues with the relationships and so forth. That sounds exactly like they kind of succeeded, you know, to a point.
Yeah.
While they were there. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. Do greatly appreciate it. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com and keep us on the air. Big announcement coming up, shooting for next week. So be tuned in for that and keep the date of August 11th, 2019 open. Okay? All right. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.